From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name. I'm glad that you're joining with us this morning as once again we turn to the Word of God and let the Bible speak. The Reverend Ian Brown is taking us to John's Gospel chapter 3 and letting the Bible speak on the love of God. What a theme. It was John Newton who penned the words, "One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Which of all our friends to save us could or would have shed his blood? But our Jesus died to have us reconciled in him to God. This was boundless love indeed. Jesus is a friend in need." The message coming up in a moment, just after these words in song.
Good morning. During the Civil War in America, word came through to a mother that her boy had been wounded. She found her way to the hospital at the front. The doctor said to her, "Your boy's fast asleep. If you go in and wake him, the excitement will kill him. Whenever he wakes, I'll break the news to him gently." The mother, with her heart longing to see her boy, looked into the doctor's face and she pleaded, "He may never awaken. If you let me just sit by his side, I'll promise not to speak to him." The doctor consented. She crept to the side of the bed, looked at the face of her boy. She just longed to give him a great hug. She couldn't resist laying her hand gently on his forehead. The moment her fingers touched the boy's brow, his lips moved. "Mother, you've come," he said. Even in his sleep, he knew the touch of love. Man is such a sinner, and so spiritually deadened by his sin, that he can't appreciate what God has done for him, and what he should do for God in response. There's only one thing that'll break the power of sin in his life, and that's God's wonderful love when it's tasted, when it's felt, when it's realised and enjoyed. And what wonderful love it is. Man can't understand its mighty, massive dimensions. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is surely the highest expression of the love of God in the Bible. But, this may come as something of a surprise, our text this morning in John chapter 3 verses 17 and 18 is full to the brim of this subject also. Alright, it mentions and it warns against condemnation. But even as we read that awful word that appears in it, we can't help noting that love which would rather save man than condemn him, if only man would forsake his sin and run to Christ for redemption and refuge. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Consider first of all this morning that John chapter 3 verses 17 and 18 reveals the gracious purpose of God concerning this world. We read here, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." God made a world. He filled it with beauty and song. Filled it with the reflections of his own glory, with the echoes of his own joy. And as he looked upon it after creation, he said it was all very good. But man and the devil soon changed all of that. This world didn't esteem him. It despised his authority to rule over it. It trampled all over his love. It shattered all of his laws. What did God do to that? Well, this text tells us. He sent his own Son into the world. With what purpose in mind? Why did he do it? Now, we ought to remember that God may have sent his Son as the great avenger, as the agent of swift and furious justice, might have sent him with a fiery sword to punish the iniquity of man. He might have sent him to overthrow and to crush and to annihilate everything that had broken his laws and had exalted itself against his majesty. I often think about this, that if God had done that, man couldn't have raised even the eyebrow of an argument against it. Man deserved all of that. And had God come in judgment, no one could have complained that he had sullied his holiness or blotted his justice in any way. But our Lord didn't do that. In his love and in his pity, he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. I used to sing a little chorus in Sunday school and in the children's meeting. It stays with me to this day. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. And when we call him Jesus, we call him by his name. And that name, of course, means Saviour. Now, surely if God didn't come in judgment, that must be wonderful, breathtaking, utterly unrivalled grace and love. And other hymn writers put it like this: how amazing God's compassion, that so vile a worm should prove, this stupendous bliss of heaven, this unmeasured wealth of love. And John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 speaks of an even greater wonder. God was not merely content with no condemnation. That wouldn't satisfy the great heart of God. Nothing short of salvation would do. Therefore we read, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." No condemnation, but salvation. That's the purpose of God concerning sinners, stated negatively and positively. No condemnation, but salvation. The Lord Jesus, by his perfect obedience unto death, swept clean away and swept away forever all of those obstacles to man's salvation. The way is now clear for the activity of love and of mercy and of grace. God remains, because of the cross, as just as he ever was, for Jesus has borne the full penalty that his justice demanded for our sin. But in Jesus, he can justify the ungodly. The substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ has forever made it possible for God, without diluting one iota of his holiness, to cry to sinful men, "Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" It delights the heart of God that, without leaving the throne of his righteousness, he can address men to be reconciled unto him. He can tell them that full pardon has been purchased. He can say to them in assurance that God's righteousness is ready for the whosoever will, who will receive them as a free gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. I would rather imagine that grace and love and mercy can do nothing more than this. There's a tremendous hymn that talks about the love of God for us. It begins like this. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every blade of grass a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor would the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from earth to sky. Paul's right to trumpet the news, as he does in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is wonderful news, the news of the gospel of the grace of God, because even that extreme case of the chief of sinners is met completely in Jesus. A prodigal came into an old church where a dozen godly people were worshipping. He slid into a seat at the back of the building and he listened while they sang. Their singing brought back memories of days long ago when he was a boy at home in his father's house, for he had sung these hymns himself back then. But since, he had discovered that the way of the transgressor is hard, and now, homeless and helpless, he was reaping what he had sown. The final hymn in that meeting was sung. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. A great sob, followed by a gush of tears, brought that group of godly people around the man, and they prayed that the love of God might melt and win his heart. It did. Life everlasting is set before you and I in the gospel today. In the terms of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Today, as I close this brief message, I simply appeal. O be saved. His grace is free. O be saved. He died for thee. The purpose of God concerning this world, it's stated negatively and stated positively. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you today should be saved?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.